Hello, everybody. Welcome to Bumper Sticker Wisdom. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is that you would be listening to us. I'm Jason.
And I'm John.
Brother John's going to say a quick little prayer. We'll get this gig rolling.
Let's do it. Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for the opportunity to come together and to be vulnerable with each other and just to talk about you and rap about you. Father, we've always got so much stuff on our hearts, and it just gets a little bit heavy. And we want to teach ourselves and teach other people around us that they can come and they can lay it at your feet, Father God. They don't have to carry that burden. Your word says that your yoke is easy, Father God, and we're going to believe in that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right, so quick little question.
Yeah.
What'd you think about the end of that game?
Which one, the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I think a missed extra point cost the 49ers a Super Bowl.
I knew it was going to happen too.
I had a feeling.
As soon as it started, I was like, this mother.
Gosh darn it, man. Yeah.
He's about to freaking, I mean, to any of the listeners that are Kansas City fans, if you are a real Kansas City fan, if you're not one of them that have just come on in the last few years or the last few months, the Taylor Swift thing and everything, kudos, congratulations to you. But if you are not, if you are one of those bandwagon jumpers, you didn't even deserve that win.
You got to earn it, player. Yeah. I've been a fan of my team. Dude, I've been a fan of the Rangers since they were awful, 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 awful. They finally won their first World Series. Dallas Mavericks, I've watched them be so bad for so long, and they were my favorite team still. Yeah. You know what I mean? In 2011, we finally got our first title. You know what I mean? Like, that's a fan to me.
Oh, yeah. I used to get laughed at in middle school for wearing a Broncos jacket. Yeah, before any of the Super Bowls or any of the cool stuff or any of that.
You know, I think too, like, I don't blame little kids, you know, young kids for, you know, jumping on a bandwagon, you know. I totally understand it. But, like, grown adults who will say that they were a fan of the Cowboys for their whole life and now all of a sudden are Chiefs fans, get out of my face.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, okay, I get it. They're really good. Patrick Mahomes is a magician on the field. He does things that nobody else can do.
Yeah.
I totally understand it. And it's okay to appreciate, but – that's not a fan to me. Real fan. Ask Chicago Cub fans what real fandom looks like.
Oh, yeah. No kidding.
You know what I'm saying?
No kidding.
Ask Buffalo Bills fans what real fandom looks like. You know what I'm saying? That's what it means to me. Like, it's like that would be just like me switching religions all of a sudden.
Yeah, basically.
I'm going to switch teams just because I don't like what's happening over here. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You'll hear me piss and moan and grunt and groan over what's going on with the Broncos.
Definitely.
That's about as far as I'll get. I'm still not jumping ship.
Bro, I know you were watching. Okay, so you've already not accused me, but shed light on the fact that I'm really a Longhorn lover of all kinds. Yeah. And you were watching Longhorn softball over the weekend, which was fantastic. That's awesome.
I also saw where Saturday – the second game against UCLA was a blowout.
16-0, bro. They went 5-0 on the weekend and beat the top 10 team twice over the weekend.
Yeah.
They're really good.
They look good.
Oklahoma's still going to be really tough, but Texas looks like a legit squad, but it's early.
Yeah.
So.
It was pretty cool, though.
Yeah. I
didn't know. I didn't know it only went seven innings, and here I am. I'm like, hey, dude, I only made it to the seventh, and I passed out.
Like, you missed the most important three outs, man. Yeah,
but it was a good time.
It's fun.
And then I was flabbergasted because I was like, wait, because I fell asleep, and then I woke up, you know, the next morning to check the score.
Yeah.
And the first game come across where they played San Diego, I guess.
Yeah.
That one was totally threw me off because I was like, no, they were playing UCLA. Like, what the crap? And then I was that's why I was asking you at the table, like, dude, did they play two?
Yeah, they played five games over the weekend, which is not common. I don't know what was going on. It was some sort of a special event, I'm sure, but they're 5-0 to start the season. So good.
That's good.
Good on them. Now Longhorn baseball's coming, and I'm all on the college basketball bandwagon right now. That's my favorite time of season going into March Madness.
Yeah. It's not too I guess it's a little
about a month. A little over a month. So to get this ball rolling, I have to kind of If anybody's still listening to us after that three-episode epic between me and my dad, you got to know me a little better. You got to hear really a cool story of what ended up being redemption and forgiveness, and really things that from my dad's point of view, you know, he kind of blamed God for. And from my point of view, I just kind of looked for God in it.
Yeah.
You know, even though I was so young and really didn't have a great concept of my relationship with God or anything like that. And ultimately, God gave us both what we wanted and needed. You know what I'm saying? So the path was necessary. Everything that we went through was necessary. The men that we became and that are here today aren't the same without all of that stuff.
Yeah, very necessary.
Yeah. But in the last episode, we got on a topic that I don't feel like I really got to give my points of view on. Talked about church. The question was brought to me that if I was not in the church, if I would be – how the question was actually, how would I serve if I wasn't in the church?
Yeah.
Well, the answer to that really is pretty simple. You can serve people without being in church, right? You can give somebody water that needs water, yeah. Right? You can give somebody a hug that needs a hug, whatever, without being a part of a church. But at the same time, I don't want to downplay the importance of it, right? Yeah. There's a scripture in Hebrews that says, let us not neglect of our meeting together, right? And that's really what that's about. Fellowship is important. It's taken me a very long time to understand that community is a part of the deal,
yeah.
And that it's important. What I say, I asked once, did Christ need the 12 disciples to do what he needed to do? No, he didn't need them. He chose them.
They all had a purpose, though. All of them had a select purpose.
That's right. God called them, right? What was that scripture we talked about again? It's going to come up again. The good work that he started in you will come to completion.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I don't want to downplay the importance of church in my life, because it has become a very big part of my life, and I serve in probably different ways than I would without the church.
Yeah.
But again, I think that this is kind of a human element, right? Church isn't really about a place, you know what I mean, that you go to on Sundays. Yeah. It's really people.
Yeah.
Right? Now, we've made it is a body. This is a local body that you go to consistently where there are like-believing people, you know. I talked about how there's so many different types of churches now, like Catholics, Methodists, Baptists.
Pentecostal.
Go down the line.
Yeah.
All of them. They're all Christian, but they all have different views.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mormon church is...
It is Christian, but it's... I don't know enough about it to speak on it too much.
But there's another...
Joseph Smith and Jehovah's Witnesses, they all have different views, again.
Of course, because I knew a kid a while back, or a long time ago, that was Mormon, and they had really, really strict.
Very, yeah.
Very, 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 very strict rules, and was kind of different to me because the way that, like he lived in fear.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
Like he was, everything he did, it seemed like he was just in fear of everything, you know, everything about his religion.
Yeah. I don't know enough about it myself. I've never read the Book of Mormon. I've known some Mormons, but we don't, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't have the conversations.
Yeah.
I know very little about it, and I don't want to. Again, it's like me trying to speak on Judaism. I don't know enough about being a Jew to speak on it, right? Or being a Muslim or a Hindu or whatever. I don't know enough about those things in order to talk about them. I know little things about each thing, but not enough to, like, have an educated answer or approach towards debating those things, right? I know what I do know. And what I'm really close to, and that's Christianity.
Yeah.
So, really, what kind of came to mind And it was a story that I tried to tell a couple times, but it just kept getting diverted about how I ended up in church, right? Because through the stories that you heard between me and my dad about, I got hurt in church. All I was ever looking for in life was somebody to desire my presence and to love me, right? And the only person that I had experience with that did that was my dad, right? And then they were trying to make me hate him yeah. for whatever reason. I had no reason to, but they did. And ultimately, I did go to church as a kid, and what I found, where I thought I would find love, acceptance, patience, kindness, I found opposites of those things.
Yeah.
And I got burned. I got hurt there. And so
you experienced the big letdown.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, which I didn't learn until getting back into church that was partly my fault.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because I didn't have an understanding of what was going on. So anyway, a wedge was driven between me and church. And I, for at least 30 years, was like, not going to church, don't need church. I read my Bible. I talk to God. He talks to me.
Yeah.
You know, we do our thing. Ultimately, it goes back to my wife. God used my wife, as he has been doing for a very long time now, to get me to do things that I never thought I would do. And it's through her patience and things like that that God spoke to me to fix an issue between us that was coming between us.
Yeah.
In order for me to fix that, he really just told me I needed to submit. You know what I mean? You can fix it by submitting. You know what I mean? You can't ask her to take church away from herself.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know how big of a douche you sound like if you're going to do that? You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to church. You can't go either.
You know? Right, exactly. And ultimately, I had this moment where I'm mad at her, and God calmed me down, and we're having a conversation. And he was like, you can do what you want. I'm not making you do anything, John, but if you have control here, believe it or not. And the control is with yourself.
Yeah.
It's not controlling her. It's controlling you.
Yeah.
If you want to take the control, then let go.
Yeah.
Just go with her.
Yeah.
Now what do you got to be angry about?
Yeah.
Right? Because I like my time with my wife.
Yeah.
Okay? And I was finding that she would be leaving at 8:30 in the morning on Sunday. I wouldn't be back until 2:00 in the afternoon on Sunday. And I'm like,
yeah, you're like, hey, wait a minute.
I don't like this at all. You know, and it became very important to her. And she was spending time with family and, you know, with her sisters and her daughters and all that kind of stuff. And I get it. Now it makes a whole lot more sense. But really, God just told me, he said, look, you can be mad. It's your prerogative. Or you can fix it.
Yeah.
And it's not about her, it's about you.
Yeah.
So I went, and you know what I learned? The first Sunday I was there,
I like this place.
The first Sunday I was there, the pastor actually talked about getting hurt in church. And he actually talked about where you're putting your faith.
Yeah.
You know, you're putting your faith in
humans.
Yeah. If you put your faith in people, you're going to get burnt.
Yeah. Yeah, put your faith in Jesus, then.
God threw a dart and hit me right between the eyes.
Yeah.
And from that day forward, I've been a part of that church. And I didn't know how deep it was going to go. I didn't know about all this stuff. You know, you've heard me talk about wanting to be a teacher and all that stuff. My whole life, I wanted to teach young people. You know, my career path didn't take me that way, almost, but didn't quite carry on. But now I still get the opportunity to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that's God's plan. And that's
just in a different way. I mean,
yeah, it's not what I thought at all.
Yeah.
Not even a little bit. I thought I was going to be in a classroom.
Yeah. In a classroom behind a desk saying, hey, you need to get your books out. Test starts in 10 minutes. And
yeah, but I didn't want to teach like that anyway. Yeah. And I think that's why God didn't let me, because I wanted to mentor children, not teach them how to take a test. Right. I wanted to mentor people, young people, about life.
Yeah.
Because I had a crappy young life. Yeah. You know, and it hurt. And I wanted to coach kids through how to survive that stuff. I didn't realize that it was meant to be with God.
Well, you're making leaps and bounds in progress, though, with what you do in the church,
right,
as far as mentoring youth. I mean, you do quite a bit there. So
I do now.
That part is kind of I could see that chapter coming true. You know what I mean?
Well, I work with those elementary kids, man. They're my kids, man. I love those kids. I look for
you're a better man than I am, because
it's not made for everybody. I totally understand. It's like the gifts of God, right? The gifts of the Spirit. We talked about it before. It's like, if you have this gift, use it, right? Not everybody has that gift. Not everybody is able to work with kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm way more patient with other people's kids than I am my own.
Yeah.
Sadly.
Yeah. I think that's true with a lot of people. I know some people that are way patient with their kids and their kids only.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
yeah. Yeah, I know people that are like don't have time for anybody else's kids, period.
Yeah.
And I could get it, man. Our kids are a lot. They can't stress you out instantly. Mm-hmm. And there are Sundays when I go into that classroom and there's 35 of them and I'm about to rip my own teeth out.
Yeah.
That would be less painful. But at the same time, man, it reminds me of our relationship with God. Yeah. Seriously. It's like, man, how are you going to get mad at them? God doesn't get mad at you for all your stupidity.
Yeah.
Because he's probably sitting up there going, this kid is stressing me out.
What are you doing?
Stop that.
What now?
Shut up. You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, that I kind of just wanted to make sure I clarified that, like, church is important, but it's not the be-all, end-all, right?
Yeah.
I think that the community piece of it, this is church, though, right? Where two or more are gathered in his name, there he is. So
yeah,
this is church, too.
Yeah.
It's just how you define it, right? So I think that
it's just isn't sitting at a pew and,
right?
You know what I mean.
We don't have praise and worship going on in here.
No,
sometimes.
Yeah, every now and then we'll fire off some notes.
I don't know that anybody's sticking around to listen to that.
yeah, that was a good one.
So, kind of what I wanted to, I had in my mind. That's kind of, I don't know. It's really grace, but it kind of goes, it's all really a big encompassing topic. And it kind of talks, it's like loving yourself, it's forgiveness, it's grace, it's all kind of this big ball.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'll be able to get all this or not, man. I don't know. I was thinking about how, like, unforgiveness is a big deal for others, like, but it's a really big deal for yourself. Unforgiveness is where your hatred of yourself lies.
Yeah.
Right? Like, for whatever reason, let's just take as an example, a person who gets raped a lot of times blames themselves.
Yeah.
Right? And which is crazy to me because it has nothing to do with anything that they did.
Yeah.
That person chose to force themselves on you, and that's wrong.
Yeah.
End of discussion. But for whatever reason, our psychology is such that we try to place the blame on ourselves, and it's hard to get over.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about how easy it is for me to look at someone else's weaknesses and be like, man, they're forgiven, God loves them, and then look at myself and not say the same thing.
It's easy.
It's sad how easy it is.
It's very easy.
Quite honestly, think about it like this, though. What I started to think about was, and I'm gonna get into all of this, but God's grace is sufficient to cover everything. Now, I don't know if I have a great definition of the word grace. Like, we could look up the back Webster's Dictionary version, but it's not forgiveness. You know what I mean? It's it's not. It's part of it. Forgiveness is part of it. And it's not love, but it's part of it.
Yeah. It's a lot.
It's bigger. Yeah. And I think grace is the magic sauce the magic seasoning that creates the opportunity to be forgiven.
Yeah.
The opportunity to love instead of be angry.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know if that's a good way of describing it or not.
Pretty good way, though. I mean, that's made total sense to me, especially when you were doing the little hand gesture.
I'm doing the salt thing.
Yeah, the salt bay trick off the elbow.
So what I started thinking about was whenever we're living in unforgiveness of ourselves, right? Never mind unforgiveness of others. That's already a given. We should be forgiving others. But the thing about it is whenever we're saying to ourselves, we make a mistake, I don't know, whatever the mistake is, I don't know what that is. Define it. Yeah. Whoever's listening, whatever that weak thing is, that thing that's you're weak to, you make that mistake again, and you tell yourself, and you start to hear that God can't forgive you. You do realize you're calling God a liar, right?
Yeah.
Like, you're basically saying no, oh, and you're devaluing the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you're exactly.
That blood's not valuable enough to cover my mistake, even though it was valuable enough to cover all of David's mistakes and Abraham's mistakes. And
it was valuable enough to cover the mistakes of everybody in the entire world. It's just actions like that are going to make it to where it doesn't cover yours.
Yeah. And I don't understand why we think like that. I mean, I guess I kind of do. No, don't do that. Just so people know, I'm looking for scripture.
I got real quiet, too, because I was all looking at it like, okay, here we go. What are we doing?
Well, I want to see more than just that one verse. But I want to read really quickly about... There you are. About this is
is that Beltray?
That's a dog's tail.
He's sitting by the door.
Thump, thump. That is a tail from a 97-pound German Shepherd whacking the floor.
Dude, that is funny. I thought he was hitting the door.
Close. So anyway, I started thinking about again, we're going to talk about God's grace, right? And this story came up, and I'm going to – all these other things come off of this one story out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and this is not Romans for a change. It is Paul still, and I'm just going to read through this whole thing, starting in 12, verse 1 through 10. Paul's real big about boasting.
Yeah.
I don't know. He always says something about not boasting, talking about himself. This boasting will do no good, but I must go on. I will reluctantly tell about visions and revelations from the Lord. I was caught up to the third heaven 14 years ago. I don't know what the third heaven is. Whether I was in my body or out of my body, I don't know. Only God knows. Yes, only God knows whether I was in my body or outside my body. But I do know that I was caught up to paradise and heard things so astounding that they cannot be expressed in words. Things no human is allowed to tell. That experience is worth boasting about, but I'm not going to do it. I will boast only about my weaknesses. If I wanted to boast, I would be no fool in doing so because I would be telling the truth. But I won't do it because I don't want anyone to give me credit beyond what they can see in my life or hear in my message. Even though I have received such wonderful revelations from God, so to keep me from becoming proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and keep me from becoming proud. So we're going to carry on through that. It doesn't identify the thorn, right? Doesn't identify what this thorn is. Three different times I begged God to take it away. Each time he said, "My grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness." So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the results, hardships, persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, then I am strong. That's a mouthful. So
I'm really curious about this third heaven.
Caught up to the third heaven? Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what that is. I don't know. I don't understand the context. I don't know.
You're supposed to have that answer. You're my know-all tell-all. You're supposed to know that answer.
I'm supposed to have all the knowers and the knowing. Yeah. All the knowing and the knower. Sorry, buddy. I don't know this one.
That's all right.
I have said before, I don't know it all.
Touche.
But what I'm kind of getting at is, think about how big he's talking about God's grace, right? He's got this thing that's tormenting him, this weakness, quote, that is tormenting him, and that he's ashamed of, it sounds like.
Yeah.
This is just what I'm catching. This thing that, this weakness that I have that I want to let go of and I want out of my life, and God's like, no. My grace is all you need.
Yeah.
You need that weakness, right? Because my power works best in your weakness, right? Because, and maybe it's because, I don't know. This is all conjecture. Maybe it's because before the enemy was the enemy, when he was an angel, he was so powerful.
Yeah.
Right? And he became proud, right?
Yeah, because he was a pretty powerful dude.
Yeah, it was almost like second in line, almost.
Yeah.
In the hierarchy. Like, again, this is all stuff that we'd have to go do some more study on. Again, I don't want to speak, yeah. I always don't want to speak lies, but based on things that I've read and understand, he was considered the most beautiful angel, right? And he was the leader of worship, and eventually decided that he should be the one being worshiped.
Had a really awesome voice too, didn't he?
Sure,
like beautiful singer and
something like that. Yeah. I didn't know him, not like that anyway.
Well, I'm saying, yeah. I'm just saying, like, as far as like the Bible's description.
Yeah, you know what I think about too. I don't know if like, and maybe this is why we listen so much to the crap that he spills into our minds. Is like, this is Greek mythology stuff, and I don't believe in that stuff, but it, just think of the characters. But the sirens, you know, the sirens, they're out in the ocean, and it causes there these beautiful voices that tempt the men, and they sail into the rocks because they can't not follow the voices. It's what it makes me think about inside of our minds, right? Like this abyss that's going on inside of our minds. And maybe the enemy's voice, that's why it's so sweet, sounds so sweet. That's what makes us listen to it. And he ain't yelling at you.
No, he's smooth. He's Rico Suave, man.
Here, baby. He's like, hey, you know.
Get over here. Let me show you something real fast. Yeah. Promise you'll like it.
You know, promise. You know that thing you did?
Here, I'll hold your beer. You can come check this out, though.
But we're not going to give him power, right? And anyway, I just think... Think about how big that grace is, though, right? He just said, my grace is all you need.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about your weakness, right? Okay. That brings me to another story. And I think about Peter, right? You know about Peter's denial.
Yes.
Right? Okay, for context, in Scripture, Matthew chapter 10, 32 and 33. I want you to, everybody listen closely to this part because it sets up everything else. Everyone who acknowledges me publicly here on earth will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven.
Yes.
Okay. So, later on in the book of Matthew, amongst others, not just the book of Matthew, it describes this moment right before Christ is going to crucifixion. And he says, you know, Peter's like, I'm going to die with you. I'll die with you. He's gung-ho. He's going to be there, whatever. And Jesus turns to look at Peter and says, bro, I'm telling you right now, before this day is done, before this night is done, you're going to deny three times that you even know me, right?
Yeah.
Three different times. You know, Jesus being dragged before the courts, basically. three different times. People were like, hey, you're that dude that was following Jesus. And he's like,
No, I'm not.
By the third time, he was adamant. He wasn't just saying, no, you don't know what you're talking about. By the third time, he was like, I'm telling you, I didn't even know that dude. Like, adamant, right? What did he just do?
Yeah, just said that he was going to die with him.
Right, but he denied him. Yeah. What did it say in Matthew 32:33?
But everyone who denies me here on earth, I will also deny before my Father in heaven.
Mm. That sounds a little dangerous, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Sounds like Peter did one thing that he couldn't do. But let me tell you how good my God is. John chapter 21. Okay, this is post-resurrection. He has come to his disciples multiple times at this point. This is the part where, after his resurrection, he tells them to toss their nets over the other side, yeah. And the boat damn near sinks. So, again, remember that Peter's name is also Simon. Sometimes he's referred to as Peter, sometimes he's referred to as Simon. Christ is on the beach. He tells the guys, I know you've been fishing all night, but toss your nets over the other side. Almost sinks the boat. All the while, he's up there cooking breakfast for these dudes because that's how cool he is.
Yeah.
They come up. I'll check out this interaction between Jesus and Peter or Simon. Take your pick. John chapter 21, starting in verse 15. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then feed my lambs, he told him. Jesus repeated the question, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Then take care of my sheep, he said. Third time, he asked, Simon, son of John, do you love me? At this point, Peter's getting his feelings hurt.
Yeah.
That Jesus would ask again. He said, Lord, you know everything, and you know that I love you. Then Jesus said, then feed my sheep.
Asked him three times. That kind of makes it seem like he kind of was doing the dirty work to avoid that contract for him. Like,
I know. You see what I'm saying? That's what I'm talking about God's grace, right? God's grace is sufficient. It doesn't have to be more than. It's big enough to cover everything.
Yeah.
Right? So every time he gave him the space three times to cover up that denial with love.
Yeah.
Because what does Jesus say? What does Jesus really want? What does God really want from us?
True love.
He wants our heart, man.
Yep.
Love.
True love.
That's it. Yep. So to me, I say all of that to get to the point that really think about it, man. God loves you enough. He loves you enough, no matter what you do.
Yeah.
To allow you the space to overcome your weaknesses. And all of that gets overcome with time, right? It reminds me, and we might have to YouTube that scene from The Chosen with Mary when she comes back to the camp. You remember that? That interaction between her and Jesus?
Yes.
This all kind of speaks to that.
I think we should YouTube that.
Okay, we'll YouTube that.
Because that that whole scene will make all this make sense.
Okay. Okay, so to set this all up, again, we're talking about...
Dude, that's crazy. That was 2 years ago.
I know. It's going by so fast.
No, but like...
Hey, we're just now...
We still got two episodes left in season two?
Yep. Season four is coming out.
So yeah, you can do season three or season four at the movie theater, yeah.
So to kind of set this up again, bear in mind, what are we talking about? We're talking about not only being forgiven.
Talking about God's grace.
God's grace. Forgiveness of yourself, man. If yeah. God is willing to forgive you, then why can you not forgive yourself?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
He has a mic drop moment in that too, whenever she says,
you restore, what did she say? You restored me?
Yeah.
And I threw it all away, and he goes, not much of a restoration if you lost it all in a day.
Which basically, again, it just makes all the sense in the world to me. So we're going to give this a shot, hopefully. It's clear. Everybody. Oh, hey, oh, you get out of here.
Sorry, technical difficulties.
I got a stinking ad that popped up. Okay. Bear in mind, at this moment when they walk into his tent, Mary had left.
Yeah.
Something had got her attention when this demon-possessed person came around. She basically went back to the life that she was leading before she encountered Jesus. And John, the baptizer, has been... Bad things are happening to him in prison, and Jesus is feeling that weight because he loves John so much. That sets up the beginning of this conversation.
It's not you. There's quite a lot going on right now. So it's good to have you back.
I don't know what to say.
I don't require much.
I'm so ashamed. You redeemed me and I just threw it all away.
Well, that's not much of a redemption if it can be lost in a day, is it?
I owe you everything. But I just don't think I can do it.
Do what?
Live up to it. Repay you? How could I leave? How could I go back to the place I was? And I didn't even come back on my own. They had to come get me. I just can't live up to it.
Well, that's true. But you don't have to. I just want your heart.
Yes.
The Father just wants your heart. Give us that, which you already have. And the rest will come in time. Did you really think that you'd never struggle or sin again? I know how painful that moment was for you.
I shouldn't.
Someday. But not here.
I'm just so sorry.
Look up.
I can't.
You can. Look at me. I forgive you. It's over.
That is deep.
Glad
that
not-
is deep, deep, deep.
I'm glad there's not cameras in the room right now. Because we're a little dusty up in here. Our thanks to Kenneth, God in nature. He's the one who posted it. And the Chosen by Loaves and Fishes production.
Yes, of course. You know,
obviously,
absolutely.
That's not our content. We don't want to steal it or try to use it as our own. But I think it just drives home the point that what we're talking about. What I've been doing too much talking today. I feel like I don't like it.
No, it's good. It's good. But you're right. This kind of drives home the discussion of grace, like you were talking about. I mean,
yeah. I love when he says, "Did you think that you would never struggle or sin again?"
Yeah,
right. Like, and I think that again, it goes back to things that we've said multiple times already. Like we tie all this thing up and try to put this pretty little bow on it. Like we're never. Look, yes, we shouldn't sin.
Yeah.
Okay, we shouldn't do those things. We should not. Okay, but you're not going to achieve perfection.
Yeah,
it's not possible. She said, "I can't live up to it." And he said, "You're right, but I'm not asking you to. You don't have to. Just give me your heart. That's all it is.
A father just wants your heart.
That's it."
There's so much that you could, we could run a podcast just based off the Chosen series. I feel
that's
like
true. Too. I'm sure there are probably people doing it already. Yeah, but
it's just amazing to me how easy it is to watch that, and then the
it
all comes back to you.
Yeah,
and in ways that you can actually understand. It's a little easy. It's a little easier to kind of relate when it's like tangible. Like they are sitting there.
Yeah.
He hugs her at the end, and that it's a little easier to kind of relate with the human aspect of it when you can see that kind of interaction.
Some of this stuff, again, it's not necessarily scripturally charged. It's not. There's no.
This is just a guess.
There's no scriptural evidence that Mary left and came back. There's no scriptural evidence that supports that at all.
Yeah.
And as far as I'm aware. But knowing what I know about the Bible and about these men,
yeah,
and women, I can see how these things played out just like they're showing.
Yeah.
I can see Jesus' patience. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It goes right back to the very first thing we talked about. If you're loving others, you're not going to do all these things. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The most important thing that we can do is to love God and love others. That's Jesus' words.
Whew, how often do we love others?
I certainly love others better than I love myself.
I do too, but it's typically
probably
only
not
the people I'm close to.
You know what I mean? And you're not wrong, man. I mean, that's fair. I would say that, you know, are you going to get it right every time?
Absolutely not.
It goes right back to what we just witnessed there, you know what I mean? And again, I know that's not really Jesus and that's not really something that's scripturally documented, but there's part of the Bible that says that Jesus did so many miracles that they couldn't contain it all in a book. The book would be so big that they couldn't contain it in the world.
Yeah.
So who's to say that didn't happen? I don't know.
I would like to think that's how he would be if that was a situation that he was
absolutely
in.
Absolutely. Well, how many times? Okay, think about the one, right?
Yeah.
The one who strayed. Think about the prodigal son. There's a good story. You know the story of the prodigal son?
Unfortunately, I do not.
Well, you better find out, son.
I want to now.
So the story of the prodigal son, the parable of the prodigal son. If you listen closely, you recognize the connection between us, our relationship, and God, like our relationship between us, right? Okay, so we'll read through this. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32, so kind of long. But listen closely, it'll all make sense. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And father didn't even question it. He said, and he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there, he squandered his property in reckless living. So you can imagine.
Yeah.
And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went out and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. He was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. You know what pigs eat?
I know they eat slop. I mean, they eat.
And he's desiring their slop at this point.
Yeah.
He was longing to be fed the pods. But when he came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough food, but I've perished here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.'" Man, how does it not pertain to exactly what we're talking about? I made a mistake, and now I'm going to sit here and wallow in this mistake, and I feel like I got to drag
myself back to
him. It's
exactly the same thing.
So he got up and he came to his father. But while he was still a long ways off, it says, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Now, the ring is necessary. That's important. That means you're an inheritor.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That means you're special.
Yeah.
That's not for nobody.
Yeah.
And bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this, my son, was dead, and he is alive again. He was lost, and he is found. And they began to celebrate. You can continue on with his older brother.
Sorry. I was... I got into it, so that's why I was reading that note. You go ahead.
We can continue on to the older brother.
Yeah, I mean, I think we should.
And now, so again, bear in mind, look, I think that the younger brother is really all of us at times in our lives. But yeah. I think we can also be the older brother, too, at times here. His older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. So here's celebration. He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. He said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. This is the brother.
Yeah.
His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, not even my brother, came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Think of that's literally the two different people in the world, right? There's people on the path, and there's people that are off the path, right? And we are all prey to both.
Yeah.
Right? Every time we fail, every time we fall apart, every time we fall off the path, we're the first son, the youngest son.
Yeah.
And every time we're around other people who fall off the path, we're the older son. Yeah. Because we're like, look, I've been over here doing this all this time.
Yeah.
Why are you celebrating them?
I think that, so, you know, like, I talked to you or sent you something on this, but me and you have talked about this too. Yeah. When you do appear before God and he says, get away from me, for I never knew you.
Yeah.
This is the kind of people he's talking about, the older brother.
Yeah.
Basically, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What was that? So
have I not cast out demons in your name?
Yeah, yeah,
have
yeah,
I
done
not
all
prophesied
these works
for you?
Yeah, like, yeah, yeah. And he said, but what did the people do? They were coming to him with, look at all the things that I did.
Yeah. Not look at all the things that you did through me.
Yeah.
Look at all the things that I did for you.
Yeah. And they put the focus on themselves. What did we talk about? Don't let the left hand know what your right hand is doing. Yeah. What did I say?
Yeah.
When two hands come together.
Yep.
That's what you want. You want praise. And if you're seeking praise, then you're gonna get let down first and foremost. And two, if you get the praise, you already got your reward.
Yeah.
You don't get credit for that in heaven.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you got the reward. You got the human reward, the people reward.
Yeah. I don't want that.
No.
I want God's reward. I want what Jesus has for me.
Absolutely.
God's goodness is good. It's big. It's just trippy to me sometimes. That's how big it is.
It's also taken for granted.
Oh, bro, how do we end up back as the prodigal son all the time, over and over and over again?
Yeah.
It happens to all of us, man. Hey, look, I hate to see that look on your face because that look is you're thinking about those things in yourself already.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As I'm doing the same thing, right? Yeah. I hate that for each other because.
Well, what I was thinking is how many times does that work before he's finally like, look, go back out there and frolic in your field full of prostitutes. You know what I mean? Or whatever he calls it.
My grace is all you need. No. My grace is big enough to cover it all. Yeah. Do you love me? I love you.
Yeah. I got you.
Right? Think about it.
Yeah.
We just covered all of those things. Christ didn't put an end on forgiveness. He didn't put an end on the air.
I know he says something along the lines of, well, how many times should I forgive?
Seven times. Somebody says seven times.
70 times seven. Yeah, 70 times seven. Or.
But, and again, as people were like, okay, so 490 times we're supposed to forgive somebody. No. Yeah. That was just an illustration. Jesus isn't trying to put a limit.
Yeah, what he's saying is quit asking me questions and keep forgiving.
Yeah, basically he's saying, why are you worried about the speck in your friend's eye when you've got this big log in your own, right? And he said that before too.
Yeah. Need not worry about the friend or the plank in his eye, but worry about the plank in your own or something. Yeah.
The log. He calls the one in yours a log because the log is blocking your vision.
I was just going off what Pastor Richie always says.
Yeah.
Yeah, he always calls it the plank.
Yeah, the plank in your friend's eye.
Yeah.
Or the speck in your friend's eye, the plank in your own.
Yeah.
Same thing. Yeah. Call it whatever. I like to envision a log because it makes it like it's covering my entire eye.
Yeah. A plank would too.
That's fair.
I don't think it takes much to cover up a human eye. I mean,
it really doesn't. Look.
Yeah, thumb.
I can't see.
Yeah, I mean, put a thumb up there. Thumb's got you.
What else we got to talk about? Did I cover? Did I even cover that sufficiently? I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't feel so. Like
I believe.
It. Well, I'll let the world judge that. I don't really care. It made me feel better. I'll be honest with you. I started off this week feeling that, I don't know, we talked about it before we started today, just like this. It's not hopelessness at all, because I'm full of hope, but it's more just that feeling that it's insufficient, right? Everything I'm doing is not sufficient, and it's without point. And
I think you sent me a text that.
Which one?
Real quick.
I text you pretty often.
Yeah. But you talk about.
You're talking about the one from Sunday?
Well, when you were talking about like when we sat down here, it's like not hopeless, but man, when you sent me the text, you had a scripture with it too, and that.
Are you talking about the day when I said David says it best?
Maybe. I'm totally butchering this too right now.
It's all good. It's all good. We'll figure it out. I mean, we're kind of trying. I said David expresses it at best. I was talking about Psalms 4:42. Why am I discouraged?
Yeah.
Why is my heart so sad? Yeah. I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. Now I am deeply discouraged, but I will remember you even from distant Mount Hermon, the source of the Jordan, from the land of Mount Mizar. I hear the tumult of the raging seas as your waves and surging tides sweep over me. But each day the Lord pours his unfailing love upon me, and through each night I sing his songs, praying to God who gives me life. O God, my rock, I cry, why have you forgotten me? Why must I wander around in grief, oppressed by my enemies? Their taunts break my bones. They scoff. Where is this God of yours? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise him again, my Savior and my God. And that's David.
That's exactly the one I was talking about.
Yeah, and again, I think that kind of speaks, and it's good to remember that. What did you say to me? You said to me, because I was feeling really discouraged, you said to me, if God is for you, who can be against you?
You got to put it in God's hands. If God is for you, who can be against you?
Can I tell you? Okay, so Sunday, right? This last Sunday, you know, snow. It was a little wild. I was on the altar ministry. I didn't. It really hurts my heart that more people don't come up there. But then the weekend before that, it was like a bunch of people coming up there, you know?
Yeah.
The difference is like on Sundays like that, it's such less attendance. It's people that are there all the time anyway. Yeah. You know what I mean?
It's your regulars at that point. I'm at that point now where I probably should be going up there. But
I'm not calling you out.
No. I'm saying me personally, I probably should be going up there. But I'm like I feel needy. You know what I mean? Wow. Like I feel needy. Like wow. So what
to
I,
who are you needy to, man?
It's just I mean like I do. Like
yeah.
You know,
I don't want to say this like I'm not that I don't want to say it. I'm not trying to shame anybody or anything like that. Look, do it. Here's what I would tell people. I wish more people would listen to the still small voice, man. I wish more people would submit and commit to what that voice is telling you.
Yeah.
Because I go up there when I'm not on the altar ministry, the prayer team, or whatever you call it, and I go get prayer, not because I feel like I need it, but because God's telling me go.
Yeah.
Go. It won't go out of my head either. It's like, yeah.
So
I'm like, okay, I'll go. Jeez.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Nice choice of words, too.
Well, me and God have that kind of relationship. He puts it on me so heavily, and it's not in my mind. It really isn't. It's more, I feel it in my chest area. That's weird, I know.
Yeah.
But it's just like, You need to go. I don't even know what to get prayer for. Just do it anyway. Why? I don't. Just go.
Yeah.
Just go. Sometimes I wonder if it's a matter of being an example. Sometimes I wonder if it's because God knows something that I don't, which He definitely does. You know, I think a lot of it has to do with, man, I'm pouring out a lot, and God's trying to tell me you got to get fed back too. You got to get poured back into, and you know, He listens to me. I know that He always hears me, just like He does to everybody. He hears us all the time. But we need to come into agreement with each other.
Yeah,
that's what that's about, right?
Yeah,
when we're talking to God in agreement with each other, like, you know what, man, I got this thing in my back, and I'm just making an example.
Yeah, because we know that this is going on with me right now.
But, man, I got this thing in my back, and, you know, I just don't know what to do or what to think about it, whatever. Okay, you know what? Father in heaven, I'm just going to lift this up to you. We are going to boldly come into your presence, as your word says, and we're going to remember that by your stripes we're healed. We're not just talking about physical healing. We're talking about emotional healing, mental healing, all the things that are broken in us can be wiped away in the word, if that's what you want, Lord.
Yeah.
And we're going to surrender to your will. And, you know, we agree on this in Jesus' name. That's really, and look, I'm making, that's all, I just threw all that out there, but that's really what it's like.
Yeah.
And that's really what it's for. Because where two or more are gathered, right?
Yeah.
There He is. And it all goes back to, we're not meant to do this by ourselves.
Yeah.
If there's one thing that, the biggest reason we decided to do this was because we want to teach men specifically that you don't have to do it alone. Yeah. You're not supposed to do it alone. And, yeah, you're supposed to have God, but you're still meant to have somebody. You're supposed to have somebody on this earth that you talk with, that you can share this crap with.
Yeah.
And it's not a burden to share your burden. It's not. Many hands make light work, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I got you.
But you ain't needy nothing. If you was needy, you'd be up there on your knees crying. Ah! What's wrong with you? I got a hangnail.
Yeah.
Holy cow. Okay. You know, but and again, I'm just making jokes. But again, I hope that you understand. Like, I'm not saying any of that because of you specifically. Like, I'm not pointing that at you at all. It's just literally I'm up there, and, like, I don't know what it is. The more I've done this, the more I can start to feel it. Like, I feel heaviness. I feel people's burden.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you can see it on their face.
Yeah.
And you can see them looking at you like this.
Yeah.
And you can see God's telling them, just go.
Yeah, they're fighting it. Yeah.
And I'm just like, you know what? I don't know if you can see me from where you're at.
I can see. I watch you every time you go up there.
My lips are always moving.
Yeah, because you're always still singing.
Well, and I'm always talking too. I'm actually praying most of the time. I'm not even really singing. I'm talking to God. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to inhabit the space and to overcome the people's hearts and let them bring their stuff. Let them bring it. Bring it up here. I don't know. I don't even know what I'm supposed to say, but you know what? Bring it up here. Let's see what happens.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, the more I do it, the better my prayer life has gotten, quite honestly. And I believe prayer works, man. I really do. It's something we probably need to talk more about just prayer in general.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's probably a weak point from a lot of followers, to be honest with you.
I'll tell you, it's a weak point for me. I mean, I can't say it's a weak point because I go through spurts. There's some times where I'm very faithful to my prayer and I very consistent. And then there's times when I look up and I'm like, God, man, I hadn't prayed one time all week.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like,
well, okay. So what's your definition of prayer?
I sit down and give it a couple minutes of quiet time and get it off your chest.
You're talking about like undivided attention type stuff. Do you talk to God throughout the day?
Yeah. If something's, you know, I ask for a lot for, you know, please keep us safe. You know, we do some sketchy stuff.
Well, I mean, that's prayer. Every conversation with God is prayer. It's the way I see it. I don't know if it's defined as such, but we also, too, should remember that there's, gosh, I would have to, again, I think that that's another topic for another time, but there's scripture and precedent that the Holy Spirit speaks on our behalf with moanings and groanings that we can't even understand. Like, sometimes we don't know what to pray for, but the Holy Spirit does, and he's praying for us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm praying with us, or he's interceding on our behalf.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, the biggest thing I can say to anybody is don't beat yourself up.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, man, we've heard the church talk about this multiple times about, like, you read the Bible once this last week instead of every day. You still did it once.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Focus on the victories rather than the failures, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's an area that I really got to get better at.
You and me both, my boy. I'm bad about that. I focus a lot on my failure. I focus a lot on my weakness and a lot of the ways that I'm like, man, I could have done that better. Yeah. That's not who I am. That's not who Gabe made me be. And you know what I'm starting to hear is God says, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. You aren't. That's not who you are.
Yeah.
Just do better next time.
Yeah.
This ain't over yet. You're still alive.
Yeah, you get them next time, champ.
I'm starting to feel like it's like baseball, man. If you're 3 out of 10, you're doing pretty stinking good.
Yeah.
You're Hall of Fame worthy. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, that went off a little bit, but I don't care.
What we got? We got some Bible roulette here.
I know. We did a couple with Dad at the end of that, but you know, he kind of just took over that. So I was like, okay, Dad, go ahead. Let's do it. It's cool. I want to see if we get another Roman scripture out of this.
I think we will.
Let's see. You just pick one out of there. Without looking. Without looking. Don't stare at it.
Romans. And you saw me. I spread them out and didn't look.
He was looking at me.
Okay.
Maybe just Romans is that wise.
Romans 6, chapter 6, verse 23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Lord. Jesus.
Yes, Lord. Through Christ, not us. I love it.
Then we got Ephesians. This one fits into what we were just talking about, too. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. By grace you have been saved through faith, and this is the gift of God.
Notice that it's not something you earned. It's a gift. It's given freely.
Yeah.
Of God's will.
I think we're like 6-0 on the Romans draws there.
Every single time so far. You want to pick one of these? We've got our little. The ones that have the check mark by them, we've already used. Those are our little bumper sticker wisdoms.
Here's one. I'm gonna quote Shakespeare on this one.
All right.
So a fool thinks himself to be wise, but a wise man knows himself to be a fool. Let that one resonate with you for a minute.
I don't know that there are more true words to be said.
that one is, but I do got to follow it up with this one too, because this kind of falls in the same category, and it's also Shakespeare. So, wise men speak because they have something to say. Fools, because they have to say something.
Yeah, that's right. You know what that reminds me of is James, when he talks about be quick to listen and slow to speak.
Yes.
Yeah, a wise man listens first, speaks later. Well,
till next time.
For Bumper Sticker Wisdom, I'm John.
I'm Jason.
Love you.